Let me talk a little about the small business jobs bill that we're trying to get enacted this week here in the Senate, and then open it up to questions. This is an important piece of legislation. It is intended to promote job creation through a combination of tax credits, improvements in the ability of the Small Business Administration to underwrite lending to small business, additional support for counseling and contracting programs through the Small Business Administration, development of a new community bank lending facility, which would provide funds to healthy community banks in a way that requires those banks to then make that capital available to small businesses and then, as it's paid back, repay the government. I think it's a very good piece of legislation. It's not a cure-all for our economic problems by any means, but it is certainly a step in the right direction, and it's something we've been trying to pass now for quite a while. We had a vote today to close off debate and get on to consideration of the bill to essentially end a filibuster. That vote was successful. We got the necessary votes to do that, which is very good news. And so I'm optimistic we can pass this bill before the week's over. So let me stop with that and answer any questions that either of you have. Jim, why don't you start out?
Well, thanks, Senator. I appreciate it. I want to just, you know, there's been a lot of conversation over the past few days about the so-called Bush tax cuts and whether or not they would be extended in full by this Senate, or whether the tax cuts for the wealthiest in the country would be allowed to expire. I'd like to get your perspective on that. What do you think should happen, and how should that take place?
Well, my perspective is that clearly we should extend the middle-class tax cuts, that is, the tax provisions that affect folks with incomes, a family of with income up to $250,000 a year. That should be done, and I support doing that. The top two rates, which would affect in people with incomes above $250,000 a year, I do not think it's reasonable to go ahead and extend those tax provisions further, because to do so, of course, adds on to the deficit in a way that I think is not responsible. The estimate is that there's something like $700 billion of additional lost revenue if we were to do that. And I don't think it makes sense to be providing a tax cut to people in that income bracket if we have to just borrow the money, which add it to the deficit, which is would be the case.
Well, now, opposition to letting the tax cuts expire for the wealthiest in the country is pretty strong in the Senate, isn't it?
There certainly seems to be strong opposition on the Republican side, especially.
You have a few Democrats, I think two or three, who are also have also expressed some concerns about it. The filibuster requires 60 votes to end debate on something like that. So I imagine that that's something that is being considered right now in the Senate in terms of overcoming a filibuster, isn't it?
Well, yes, it is. Of course, the law that that as it currently exists has all of the tax cuts that were enacted while President Bush was in office expiring at the end of December. The real question is whether or not people are going to agree to extend some portion of those tax cuts into the next year and beyond. And, of course, if folks want to filibuster the extension of any and all tax cuts, they can do that. But the effect would be that no one would get the reduced tax rate.
Okay, I've got some more questions on this, but I'll just come back around on it.
Okay. Mike, are you there? Mike Jackson.
Yes, Senator, right here. I've heard one of the arguments being talked about that raising taxes on some of the top earners will punish those that create jobs and that kind of thing. What's your response to that?
Well, the Congressional Budget Office has analyzed this and says that something like 3% of the small business owners in the country would be affected and would have to pay a higher tax, higher amount of tax, if this change were to occur, if the top two rates went back to where they were during the Clinton presidency. So as to that 3% of small business owners, I do think there's a legitimate issue. As to the other 97%, I don't think there is. And so I think that you have to weigh what the effect on the deficit of extending the tax cuts for everybody versus the deficit reduction that you could accomplish by going ahead and letting those two top tax brackets lapse.
Just a quick follow-up. I know that the window right now for everybody in Congress is very short because the campaigning for the midterm elections is going to be taking place. Do you see any action on any of this legislation taking place between now and the time you all recess?
Frankly, I don't know if we will be able to get the votes to legislate on this tax issue. I think we're likely to have a debate about it and likely to have some votes, but whether we can get enough votes to actually extend these tax provisions, the middle class tax provisions, between now and the time we're scheduled to adjourn three and a half weeks from now, I don't know.
All right, that's all I have for right now.
Okay. Jim, we're back to you.
Okay, thanks, Senator. And just to come back around to this same topic here, do you think there would be an appetite in the Senate for using budget reconciliation to pass a bill that would extend the tax cuts for the middle class but let the cuts for the wealthy expire?
I haven't heard any discussion of that, so I doubt seriously that that would happen.
Is it budget reconciliation, though? Isn't it something that was used originally to get the tax cuts passed?
I think budget reconciliation was used when the Republicans were in charge of the Senate and the House to put in place the Bush tax cuts. But we are not in a position in this Congress at this time to be considering use of budget reconciliation. I say, if we don't take action on this issue, effective the first of January, the taxes do revert to the level they were under President Clinton.
Right, but why isn't this Congress in a place to use budget reconciliation on this issue?
Because we haven't passed a budget resolution in this Congress, and a Budget Reconciliation Act is a follow-on to a budget resolution under the Budget Act. So if you don't pass a budget resolution earlier in the year, you can't come along in September and October and pass a reconciliation bill. The reconciliation bill only has the special protections procedurally that it has because it is legislation that is designed to implement a budget resolution that the Congress has previously agreed upon, and we don't have that in place.
So if this, if all of the tax cuts are allowed to expire at the end of this year, what in your mind do you think would be the impact that potentially could have on the November elections, if you're unable to come to agreement before the elections?
Well, I don't know. I think there is going to be an effort to extend the middle class tax cuts, and we hopefully will get a chance to vote on that prior to the election so that people will know where individual senators and members of Congress stand on that issue. If that's not successful prior to the election, that still it's possible that that would be brought up again and dealt with in a so-called lame duck session after the Congress comes back into session in November, which is now scheduled. So I think either of those options would be a way to extend those tax cuts.
Okay, thanks. I got a couple more questions, but I'll hold them for a moment.
Okay, let me see if Mike has another question. You have another question, Mike?
Yes, Senator, I do. The new U.S. attorney for the state of New Mexico, Ken Gonzalez, was here in Artesia last night talking at a community gang seminar, and I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit more about him.
Well, Ken is someone who I strongly supported as our new U.S. attorney. He worked for me in the U.S. Senate as a staff assistant for several years prior to going to work for the U.S. Attorney's Office in New Mexico. He worked in the U.S. Attorney's Office both in Las Cruces and in Albuquerque for, I think, a combined period of about 12 years, and had a very impressive record of service as an assistant U.S. attorney, and now he's been elevated to the position of U.S. attorney, and I think he's doing a good job.
I know, and while we're on the subject of gangs and everything else and the legal process, I know that recently your office announced that the state was going to be getting, I believe it was over $1 million in grants. Can you comment on some of the money, on that money that's being offered to the state?
I'm not... Frankly, I'm trying to get clear exactly what we did announce that there was $1.64 million in grant funding that the Department of Justice was going to make available to the state for a variety of purposes. It was for the Department of Corrections, I think about $500,000 for New Mexico Department of Corrections. There was $300,000 for the Administrative Office of the Courts in New Mexico, $220,000 of funding for the New Mexico Attorney General's Office to focus on some environmental crime issues that they're pursuing. Another $215,000 in funding to the Attorney General's Office for border violence related work, and then another $410,000 for the Department of Public Safety to be used to reduce forensic DNA sample turnaround times. So those are the specific purposes that $1.64 million is going to be used for.
All right, that's all I have for right now.
Okay. Jim, did you have another question?
I do, Senator. Just one or two more here. And let me say that... I know that we have talked a few times about the use of the filibuster in the Senate to block legislation that is largely supported by Democrats and President Obama. And you just mentioned that the Small Business Jobs Bill faced a filibuster that you were able to overcome. But are you looking at just a number of filibusters here over the next couple of months before the November election?
Well, we're just in session for this week and three additional weeks. And then both the House and Senate are scheduled to adjourn, I believe, the 8th of October until after the election. But during this next 3 weeks, I do think you'll probably see filibusters mounted against several of the things that the majority leader would like us to bring up and consider. So we will be having to try to get 60 votes for a variety of bills that we bring to the Senate floor, and I hope we're successful.
Okay. I'd like to ask you if you have an example, perhaps, of a New Mexico small business that might be able to benefit from this Small Business Jobs Bill. Are there examples of maybe some businesses around northern or central New Mexico that you can think of that might be able to benefit from the passage of that bill?
Well, I can't give you the name of a particular business, but any business that would be interested in qualifying for a Small Business Administration loan, for example, would be able to. The Small Business Administration under this legislation has additional authority to underwrite loans of a larger amount, up to $5 million, in fact. So that would help several businesses in our state, I would assume. The funding that is being made available to community banks, which they then would be required to lend out to businesses, would eliminate some of the access to capital problems that many businesses are having. And I hear about that as I travel around New Mexico, small businesses saying, you know, we just don't have the ability to borrow the funds that we need in order to continue at the operation of our business at the level we would like to continue it. So those are specific ways in which the legislation will help businesses. I could try to find the names of some businesses, but I think any and all small businesses would be able to take advantage of this.
And what was your understanding of the opposition to that small business jobs bill, and what made it necessary for opponents to filibuster that?
Well, frankly, it's not too clear what the basis for the opposition is, except that this was a proposal President Obama strongly supported, and there's been pretty consistent opposition on the Republican side to most of the proposals that he's been making here in the Congress in recent months.
And that's what I was getting at with an earlier question there. What is that about, Senator? What do you think that's about?
Well, I think that the Republican members here in the Senate and perhaps in the House as well feel that they're arguing against additional government action on a variety of fronts. And they essentially argue that these provisions involve the government to a greater extent in the economy than the government has previously been involved, therefore they should be opposed. As I say, I think the merits of this legislation are fairly clear, and I do think it'll help businesses in New Mexico and throughout the country. So I'm glad that I think we're now on a track to actually getting it to the president for signature.
Okay, that's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Mike, did you have anything else?
No, Senator, I don't.
Thank you both for talking to me.
All right, thanks.
Have a good day.